Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. If you're Apple, Apple Podcasts. If you're Android, we recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server, $2.99 per month. That's where you can chat with us pretty much all day long. Also, chat with other Heat fans. We sometimes have as many as 200 just going back and forth in that community. If you want to talk Heat, this is where the conversation is being started these days. So check it out. It's our Discord server. Link is right here in the description on the podcast feed, YouTube channel, and pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Our friend Nelson, his family, they do a great job over at c-armandstaffing.com. Check it out, c-armandstaffing.com. These are mobile C-arm staffing services. If you work in a medical office or in a hospital, you got to reach out to them. Big Miami Heat fans, also just really good people. 561-891-9620. That's 561-891-9620. They bring the x-ray equipment and staffing to you. You can go right on their website, contact them, and explain exactly what you need. They will get right back to you. Make sure that you mention Five Reasons. Again, check it out, c-armandstaffing.com. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got a all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. We may need an update of that intro soon. We'll see. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick at Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. One program note before we go forward, a network note. We're going to be expanding into some other NBA markets slowly but surely here. We are still going to be covering the Miami Heat on Five on the Floor. That will not change. In fact, you'll probably hear even more of us. And then, of course, on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. But we're going to start looking at some other NBA markets. We think it's actually good for our coverage ultimately, especially when you have series between teams that we can go to others who are in our network, and we're going to start building out that way. And so we've got a new product up in Orlando. It's called Magic Mania. Our guy Jonathan Ramlakhan, you may be familiar with him. He was a host of Floor Crew here and also hosted the pregame show all of the previous season. Jonathan's based up in Orlando. He's put a team together in Orlando to cover that team. That's not going to be the last one either. So make sure you check it out. Again, start on the YouTube channel. And we're going to stick to the Heat here on Five on the Floor. That's what we do, the Heat and the NBA at large, but we will start covering some local teams. My belief is that the best coverage of the NBA is done locally with the people who cover the teams the most, and that's not something that you're going to get from ESPN or any of those other outlets. So we're going to start doing that a little bit more consistently, so make sure that you look for it. But here, we're going to cover the Miami Heat, and we're going to get into something that Greg and I were talking about. We kind of were riffing on the other night on Playback. Make sure you check that out as well. That continues throughout the offseason. Playback.tv/5RSN. We'll be watching other NBA games, but also just having our kind of chat sessions that we do there where we hit various topics. And Greg, we were getting into salary structure there and the modern NBA and kind of the way that this looks. And what I'll tell you what one agent said to me recently. He said, you can't really have three maxes and thrive at this stage. Like, and not only can you not really have three maxes, you can't have two maxes and another guy kind of making the max of what he can at that stage of his career. Because not all maxes are equal, right? Some players are entitled. Like Bam, for instance, if he makes all NBA, is going to be entitled to a four-year supermax, essentially. Otherwise, it's a three-year. There's an $80 million difference between those two things in terms of whether or not he makes all NBA. This is what extension he'd be eligible for. Of course, we've talked about Jimmy's extension and what value that would be. That would be 2 years, I guess, $111 million. That would be the max of it if they rip up the player option. Others have different maxes, such as when Tyler Hero signed, there was a different max for his age bracket for his years of service. And what one agent said to me was, he said, look, on this team, on the Heat specifically, he said, if you're going to have the two maxes, the third guy needs to be a mid-level to really make this work. And so, Greg, I'll go to you on this now. The third guy is not a mid-level on this team. And as the Heat pointed out, they were top seven in salary this year. And we know that they're going to pay tax. They're going to pay about $15 million, I believe, something around those lines. And they're in line to pay tax again next year, regardless of what happens with Caleb Martin, Haywood Highsmith, and some of these others. And they're just trying to stay under the second apron, which has its own reasons for it. But go through their salary structure a little bit, kind of what that looks like and what it may need to look like.
So for this is for next season. So for 24-25, when the league year shifts, Jimmy Butler will be at $48.7 million. That's 34.6% of the cap. Bam Adebayo, 34.8. That's about 25% of the cap. I'm going to use some round numbers here just for the sake of our conversation. Tyler Hero, $29 million at 20, almost 21% of the cap. Terry Rozier next, $24.9 million at 17% of the cap. And Duncan Robinson at $19 million, 13.7% of the cap. This is a way of me getting into the fact that their top three guys are about 80% of the cap, 75% of the cap, something like that. And I think what Heat fans are trying to wrestle to the ground is this build with this top heavy kind of this Hero Rozier Robinson tier right below two real big earners in Butler and Adebayo. Is it enough? Is Hero at 20% of the cap and $29 million? Is he performing to that level? And can you win with a team that's built this way? Because it appears as if in order to have more depth, maybe you'd want to trade one of these salaries for more pieces so that you'd have a deeper roster. Or if, you know, you're on the opposite end of this thing and you want to go get another star and turn some of these salaries into another top salary, like let's say $35 million or more, because that's what Bam Adebayo's due next year. Can you win with that? Is there enough depth on a roster to fill out a competent group? So there's a lot of question marks about how they'll build going forward, but right now it's top heavy. And they're not winning big. And so that, I think, rubs Heat fans, you know, just like they wonder what direction this is going to go ultimately.
Well, yeah, and it's not just Hero either. It's Terry Rozier's in a neck brace, apparently, which was not something that we anticipated. And, I mean, again, they say he's going to be fine, but we also don't really know how this happened. Or anything else along those lines. So I don't think you can count on anything at this stage. And look, I mean, again, when we talk about 80% of the cap, I think the thing that should be made clear is they're always going to go over the cap. So this is going to be an over the cap team no matter what. So it's a little bit less than that in terms of total payroll. But yes, when you start to get to percentage of the tax, it's still considerable because, again, the line that we're talking about as the ceiling here is really the second tax line, which is the second apron. Which I don't think this team has any inclination to go over, and they have legitimate reasons not to. So that they're going to be operating for a long time, I think, as a first over the first apron team, trying to kind of slice and dice any way they can to stay under the second one. I think gets more instructive when you look at other teams. Now, there's a couple of factors here that are involved. Okay, first thing is this era of there. I don't know if there was ever an era, but this idea, okay, in the NBA that that you don't give someone their full money when they're at a max type level is just, it's just not realistic. I think it should be. I wish it was that you were kind of tiering players differently than you are, because not every max player in the league is worth a max compared to the other guys. I mean, to me, if you're not a consistent top 10 player, you probably shouldn't be getting every possible dollar. But the teams do it because otherwise they're going to end up with a problem on their hands, and they don't, the problem that they don't want to deal with. And this is why, you know, when we start to talk about players that the Heat could go for, okay, when you start to get into the conversations about a Brandon Ingram or about a Zach LaVine, okay, or somebody like that, like those are not top 15 players. Like they're not going to be top 15 players. They're somewhere in that, in the right situation. They're somewhere in that 20 to 35 or 20 to 40 range. And, but you're going to end up having to pay them like they are in the top 10 to 15. And that's where this becomes problematic. And that's where you see teams kind of get stuck in just above mediocrity, because they're paying guys. And then we see in Chicago, for instance, like they got better when LaVine went out. And that's the case with a lot of those types of guys. Okay. Cause a lot of them get that money because they're high volume scorers. Really. I mean, that's what you're paying for. And in some sense, Tyler is kind of a version of that, maybe a level below Zach LaVine, because he does some other things, even though he doesn't defend the way that he should for his athleticism. So I think that's the one thing we got to get our arms around here is, again, to start with, if you're going to pay someone the max, they need to be max, right? Like all the time. Okay. So, I mean, we should start there before we even get into the conversation about the third guy. Like this is kind of what Pat Riley's talking about, right? With Jimmy Butler, like, right. We're going to pay you that. We got to get that out of you. Otherwise this whole thing falls apart.
It's not just Tyler Hero, right? Like this goes all the way up to Jimmy being available. It goes up to Bam continuing to expand his game. If they're going to continue to pay him more and more, like at some point he has to expand his game offensively. And you saw him start to shoot threes. I think you're going to see him incorporate that more and more, because he's going to be pressed to do more. If they could ever ask for more from Bam, they're going to. And Jimmy being available. So before we even get to, is Tyler Hero good enough to be your third guy? I think that they do have some things, and Riley alluded to this. They got some changes to make, and it may be just looking inward and changing. I don't think that you're going to see swap outs of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo in terms of what uniform they wear. It's more about what they do kind of to look inward and come back and be their best selves next year. And is that even realistic? Is it realistic to expect that that's enough to get you over the hump and then go through the playoffs and that entire grind? That's the big question mark. The way they're structured right now, you don't have flexibility to add much to this team. So as it stands, unless you get creative, you're kind of, I hate to say this, but in a scenario where if you don't get creative with a trade, you may be forced to run back a lot of this, but maybe with Caleb gone, Haywood Highsmith gone, and then how do you replace those guys?
Well, and that's something else that someone who observes the team pretty carefully said to me recently. They said that, you know, the problem is that, you know, now they're losing, they may lose guys that they wanted to keep. And that was the case last year with Max and Gabe because of overpays earlier, right? So, you know, you talk about, you know, and that's going to run us back to Tyler here in a second. But it also was Duncan for a while. And if Duncan can't get healthy again, it's Duncan again. It was not Duncan early this past season. Duncan played to the level of his contract. But that's part of the thing here is now it's like we're having conversations about them not being able to keep Caleb, and I don't think they will. And they didn't keep Max, and they didn't keep Gabe, and they made an offer for Gabe. But with Max, it was kind of like, okay, there's just no chance to get in the, yeah, right. There's just no chance to get in the door here, with him, or even though he wanted to stay. And so I think that's kind of where you're at now is, again, you have to be careful with all this stuff, but at the time of the Tyler contract, like if you looked at what two guards of his level, were getting, let's put it this way. He didn't get Desmond Bain money. I mean, he basically got Anthony Simons money. You got RJ Barrett, not the same type of player, but kind of got the same amount. This is where those guys were slotting in at that time. And it was hard to make an argument against paying Tyler. And Alex and I went through the numbers the other day. Like Tyler has improved every year. Okay. And we can argue about, you know, specifics of his game and all the rest of this, he has improved every year. It's just not to the level I think that Heat fans want it to be, in combined with the availability. And so I think that's where this, again, all kind of comes to a head. Now, I do think, though, we should look at some of these other teams because, you know, the Heat are not unique in this situation. Some teams are worse off. The Suns, for instance, that's the situation that the Heat did not want to get into, right? Like where you got three guys and then, Beal is taking up that chunk of the money. I mean, if you take a look at them, and then on the other end of the spectrum is kind of the Knicks, honestly. I know Heat fans hate to acknowledge this, but their salary sheet looks pretty good, actually, with what Leon Rose has done up there. And most of that is really a product of them absolutely, you know, hitting a home run with Jalen Brunson. I mean, and that's the thing, because if go over the Phoenix cap here. I just want to show how bad this is. Like, this is what some Heat fans want, okay? And I'm telling you, this is not the direction that the Heat, I think, would be inclined to go. Go ahead.
Kevin Durant, $51 million. His cap hit percentage. This is per Spotrac, by the way, just so everyone knows I'm not spouting.
You and I are on the same. So, yeah, we're citing the same thing.
Their cap hit percentage on KD's 36. Bradley Beal, another $50 million player, almost 36. Devin Booker, almost a $50 million player. That's an estimate at this point, 35% of the cap. So that's just right up top. You got three guys that are over 30%, and then your next guy's at 12% of the cap in Yusuf Nurkic.
I mean, that's insane. Now, the counter that Heat fans would make is, look, we could absorb that because we're better at finding and developing undrafteds. And so if we just keep finding those guys and then we let them walk ultimately, which is kind of what's happened lately with Max and Gabe, and it's probably going to happen with Caleb, maybe not with Haywood. We'll just find another one. Now, my argument on that is eventually that dries up. I mean, you're going to have years where you just don't find two of them. I don't know who the Heat have in the pipeline who's really ready to stab. I mean, Alondis Williams, I guess, would be the closest right now. I don't know that Cole Swider is ever going to be an NBA rotation player. I just don't think he defends well enough. We'll see. I could be wrong about that. But to me, he's a bring him off the bench and a blowout type player for now. I don't think there's as much raw material to work with as it was with Duncan. So I would be surprised. Max had a physicality to him and sort of a versatility to him in the way that he plays that I don't know that Swider has. So I we'll see. But a lot of this Williams looks to me like the one. We'll have to bring on Major Passons at some point, our guy who covers the Skyforce, to go through this with us. But I mean, that particular cap sheet is kind of gross. I mean, I don't really know. And look, James Jones, our good friend, who you know what, if he wants to come out of, get out of there, I'm guessing Miami might find a slot for him somewhere in the front office. He can come back. I think he's still got a place in Pembroke Pines. He got demoted, basically, because, you know, he's not – I mean, they're going to hire somebody over him. I guess that person is basically just going to continue to do whatever the owner wishes. I'll look at the other side of this, okay? This is the Knicks cap sheet. This is a much more sort of blended cap sheet, okay? So Randall's not even playing, okay? So he eats $30 million. I mean, this is kind of a Ewing theory type thing, right? Like where the guy goes out and the team gets better. He's making $30 million, okay? 21% of the cap. Jalen Brunson is on a ridiculously good contract that any of us who mocked their pursuit at the time, we take the hit on that one. $25 million this year. That's a descending contract. He's only making 17% of their cap. He's scoring like 60% of their points. Adenobi, 19.9 this year, but of course they've got a decision to make on him. I don't see them letting him go, Greg. I just think he's too important to what they do. I mean, Tibbs is going to break him by the time he's 29. But there he at. Bogdanovich, $19 million. Josh Hart, $18 million. Talk about somebody that Tibbs is going to break. Mitchell Robinson, been in and out of the lineup all year, and now he's out again. 14, because Embiid took him out. $14 million next year. DiVincenzo, 11-4. That looks like a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
8% of the cap. And Miles McBride at 4. So that's a much more sort of balanced, you know, Randall's making 30, but it's not 50. Right,
13th in total cap.
Right. I mean, anybody would look at that and say, well, except for the fact that Tibbs is going to break these players and some of them are probably overachieving, anybody would look at that and say, well, they have a better cap situation or better a structured payroll situation than the Suns, for sure. But you could make an argument that they have a better one than the Heat. I mean, that's right. I mean, in terms of what their flexibility is, because they've got, and all of those contracts look tradable to me. Like if you wanted to trade Mitchell Robinson, you probably could, right? I mean, they got to pay Hartenstein now too. So again, these things are all fluid. But I'm just saying, like, this Miami situation, we'll get to it specifically here with Tyler after the break. If this idea again that the Heat are not spending, the Heat are spending. The question is, are they spending for, you know, slightly above average? Like that's really the issue here, and I think that again comes back to Jimmy and Bam have to be elite. They've got to be top 15 all the time, and then your third and fourth guys, particularly your third guy, have to be pretty damn close to that level. And I think you can argue in all three cases this year that just, I mean, Bam, I guess, you know, would be the closest because he played the games, but that didn't happen this season. And I don't know that you can project it to happen next season. All right. Something we can project to happen is that if you have a leak in your house, in your place of business, it's probably going to get worse. Reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida, your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. They take care of everything. Michael Robert and his team, they're based in Boca Raton. They service the entire Tri-County area. Yeah, they'll go all the way down to the Keys if you need them to. They go all the way out to Fort Myers as well. Check them out, Water Cleanup of Florida. Again, get in their preventative program. They can do the work after the fact, but you don't really want it to come to that. If it does, of course, they will tell you that. If they can't do it, which is one of the things we like about them, they're good, honest people. I deal with a lot of sponsors here at the Five Reasons Sports Network. I can tell you my experience dealing with Michael has been second to none. And again, I think that is an indicator of how he's going to deal with you as a customer or as a client. So reach out to him. Water Cleanup of Florida, your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop, WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weight it handles. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
All right, so let's get to it. The Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier question, okay? It seems to me you can't really have both.
Nope. There can only be one.
So let's look at their contracts. We've talked about the Rozier deal, right? The Rozier deal.
Again, does that make the Rozier trade weird to you at all, Ethan? The fact that these guys they don't project to be able to play together, but yet you traded for Terry. And I like Terry Rozier, actually. So I want to preface it by saying I like him as an addition to the team. But yeah, isn't it a little weird that those guys can't play together?
Well, we don't see the thing is I don't think they would say that they
guess we know now
play together. They would say we don't know yet. I think that there are inherent challenges to them playing together. And you know, those things would happen. I mean, the advantage to them playing together is kind of what Tyler said to me shortly after Terry was acquired, even though Terry was shooting poorly at the time, was that, you know, Tyler was saying that most of the attention was still on him, but once Terry started to get it going, that it would spread the attention out, which would make things easier on Tyler. That is legitimate to say that. Now, even on the offensive end, though, the problem is that both of them tend to like the ball in their hands. And that's where they're most comfortable. Rozier seems to be a rhythm player. So the thing is, like, that's one of the problems is that if Tyler's still going to be high usage, and by the way, Jimmy's still out there somewhere. If Tyler's going to be high usage, then, you know, it's harder for Terry to get rhythm. Like, they really have to, like, for that thing to work. And this is part of the problem here. And I don't know that anybody's really addressed this, but I was thinking about this the other day. One of the problems is, like, for that thing to work, like, Tyler and Terry, like, need to get in the gym together this summer, right? Like, they need to work it out. I was listening to Dragic. Okay. Dragic was, he's all over the place now, but he's doing some stuff with Hard Rock. I talked to him the other day, as well at the last Heat home game of the season. And he was talking about him and Dwayne, and what he was asked what it was like to play with Dwayne. He said, well, I loved it because he got so much attention and all of that stuff. I think Goran is kind of, I think there's some revisionist history there. If everybody remembers the first year with Goran and Dwayne, it was a lot of Goran standing in the corner while Dwayne was chucking up 20-foot shots.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, I mean, we romanticized that whole situation now. But to be honest, Goran played better with Dion. Because I think that as much as Dion was, you know, Philly cheese and all the rest of that, but he wasn't Dwayne, Goran didn't defer to Dion the way he deferred to Dwayne. And so there was, and I remember I did a story about the two of them where I was like a stand-up. The two of them, talked to me for 20 minutes, like about how they would make this thing work. This was in their first season. And you could tell that Dwayne had never played with anybody like Goran. Like, he played with Rio. Like, Rio was Rio and Norris, who, you know, were not demanding the ball. Forever the talk was about Chalmers. He didn't have the skill set that Dragic had offensively. So he'll tell you he did, but I mean, he didn't. So he was more of a spot up type guy. So it was a thing for Dwayne also to kind of adjust to that and understand that. And over time, I think you kind of saw it come to fruition in the 16 playoffs, where Dwayne had the first round series, but then Goran against Toronto took more of that role. And they, you know, again, I still believe if even Whiteside had been healthy, they probably get to the conference finals, let alone Bosch. But that's the thing. These two guys have to, they've got to get in. I mean, if it's a backcourt, like, it needs to function like hand in glove. Like, that's how it has to look. And they don't, I mean, like, look, Jrue Holiday has been an efficiency disaster in the playoffs the last 3 years, okay? But at least I give him credit because it looks like he understands that Derek White has passed him offensively at this stage.
You're right.
And that, right? So they've kind of made that thing work. So, again, I think if the Heat had actually gotten Jrue, there would be serious issues here because I think he's declined significantly as an offensive player. But at least, you know, the two of them look – at least Jrue seems to know his place there. Terry and Tyler would have to figure that out. And here's the problem with it. How are they going to figure it out if, A, first, Terry's entering the offseason in a neck brace, and second, Tyler doesn't know from minute to minute if he's going to be traded or where he stands. Like, it needs to be like, again, this is our backcourt. We're going to make this thing work. I don't think that he can say that because I don't think they know that, right? And so I don't know exactly how that looks cleaner. And then I haven't even gotten to the other side of it, which is defensively, which is like, that's where the real problem is. Cause we talk about, they need to be able, I mean, Terry's better at the point of attack than Kyle was, but like, he gets hunted too. So you're looking at the two of them that again, how are you? This team likes to switch, right? Like, how are you switching everything with the two of them?
They're very small to do a lot of that.
You're still playing a lot of zone, right? Like, I don't know. And then you're still putting this incredible burden on Bam, which then, you know, takes away from, you know, then you start to see the same decline with him offensively over the course of the years. He's worn down. And Jimmy, if they're asking him to play more games, which again, we've done three podcasts about that, but if they're asking him to play more games, I don't know if he's going to conserve himself a little bit defensively going forward, but my guess is probably he will continue to do so. And so again, all this comes together. So this all comes to this. Okay. I like the concept of adding Terry. I was in favor of the trade. I'm not going to take it back. I'm still in favor of the trade. I think it was the right thing to do. You had to inject something into this team. You didn't know he was going to get hurt in the playoffs. The first round pick. Okay. At least they have one this year. They can still add to what they've got going on. And I don't know that having the extra first rounder is going to make a big difference in terms of whale hunting anyway. So I'm fine with the whole thing. The contract is okay. We've talked about it. It's two more years. It's a little less than Tyler in terms of total money. But I don't have high hopes for the two of them together. And that's why, Greg, it seems to me like we're saying Tyler's going to be moved, right? Like, I mean,
that's where I'm at. Because he needs a change of scenery more than Terry does. Terry just got his change of scenery. That's why I pivot to Tyler. It's nothing against Tyler, because I think you could make arguments for either of them two to be traded because Tyler's so much younger. So you may have a faction of folks that would say, no, flip Terry again. But I think that they're more apt to go the Tyler Hero route because he just appears to need a change of scenery.
So let me ask you this question then, as we pivot, because we're always talking about it in a Tyler context, and I do feel sometimes it's unfair. If you traded Tyler for other parts, right, fill out the roster, better from a size perspective, you know, just a roster fit, but also from a salary structure perspective, are you good enough with Terry Rozier as your third highest paid player?
No, you're not.
So what are we talking about here? Like this is the, you know what I'm saying?
Rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic kind of thing.
I mean, that's kind of the thing, right? Like, okay, so Terry's contract is flippable too. Like there's, and then comes the other question. Okay, now if I was to say, okay, Terry Rozier right now, okay, after what we saw at the end of this year, now he's got 2 years left on that deal, roughly, I don't think he's going to earn the incentive or the extra money in the last year of that deal because you'd have to make the second round and he has to play 70 games, which I don't think he's going to hit both of those things. That gets him the extra $1.7 million in the second year of what is basically a 2-year contract now going forward. If he was on the open market right now, would you recoup a first round pick? Would you recoup the equivalent of what you just got, a first round pick? From a good team, because the Heat are, you know, from a middle to good team like the Heat, and then the equivalent of a Kyle Lowry, a large expiring contract like they just traded.
I think you'd be hard pressed to do so. Maybe in this upcoming draft you could, but not in most drafts. I think that is, and the Heat didn't trade their pick in this draft. They traded it in what will conceivably be a better draft than this draft, because this one is not a highly touted class. So I think if you're talking about a future pick, that would be hard to recoup right now, because as Riley said, he's in a neck brace around there. And I just, until that gets clarified for everyone, I mean, they had to come out and basically tell the beat guys, this is not career threatening, so that can be put out there. Like, I mean, then you have to take this seriously with the neck.
Well, and then there's one more guy before we close here. That fifth in the salary structure is Duncan Robinson. And I mean, look, there's someone who follows the team closely. He's not affiliated with the team, who has said to me, look, they're going to need to trade Tyler and Duncan. They're going to need to hold Terry for a little bit longer and kind of figure out how that works with others. And then he potentially becomes a piece to trade maybe in the last year of his deal. And they're just going to need to reshuffle this thing. If, again, the commitment is to Bam and Jimmy, regardless of what they give Jimmy the extension. Again, I don't think they're trading Jimmy. I'll say that for those who want to aggregate it. Okay. I don't think they are. I've said what the two most likely scenarios are, which is either they bend and give him the exception, or excuse me, the exception, the extension. You don't want the exception. The extension, they would like that. Or I believe that he'll just, I believe that he'll play out the season and then he'll opt out. Like that's what I think are the two most likely scenarios here. So if that's the case, like, but either way, they're still paying Jimmy $50 million. so this year. So I mean, and they're going to pay Bam regardless, and they're going to extend Bam. So I just think that, like, as we look at this, it's not this whole idea again, but just go add a star. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Brandon Ingram's not worth 40, adding another 45 to 50, whatever his number would be. Okay. To your payroll. And some of these other guys we've talked about, I mean, I guess where it kind of becomes tricky is when you start talking about like a Trae Young, right? Like, is he worth max money as one of your top three? I mean, does that put you over the top? I mean, Mitchell, I understand the arguments for Mitchell. Okay. I get it. Durant, I understand the arguments, although Durant puts you right back where the Suns are, and you just, at this end, you're just counting on your development, right? I guess you could argue Durant. You would probably take Durant, Jimmy, and Bam over Durant, Beal, and Booker, mostly because of the Beal part, because I don't think he's up the level.
And the defense.
And the defense, right. And the fit, right. The fit with that would be better with Durant, Bam, and Jimmy than it would be with those three guys. But I've come back to this. If you're going to go after a star to totally blow up this payroll, okay, and going to go all in, he better be a star. Like this idea of, okay, and again, I don't know if Trey even qualifies. I know Brandon Ingram doesn't qualify for that.
You can make an argument for Trey just because of the innings he would eat offensively, I think. But not a Heat fit typically. I mean, in a typical summer, I'd roll my eyes at that idea. But if you're going to narrow down the guys that are available, he's one of the few. And who knows, maybe other guys will shake free. We don't know what's going to happen with Paul George. Although, you know, like he has free agent options. So I don't know that Miami can even get in the mix there. But other than that, like, what stars will be available? Maybe more will pop open in the open market. They say this could be the off season. That's like a transfer portal summer. But we haven't seen that yet. So we just don't know.
Right. But if it becomes a transfer portal summer, like it's like, then you're kind of throwing Jimmy in the transfer portal too, unless again, you're getting a guy who is such a legit third star that it's worth this completely, you know, tilted payroll towards the top. I mean, and again, then you have to make sure that you have guys in your developmental system who are ready to play, and you may have two going right out the door now, again, in Caleb and Haywood that you have to replace. And I don't know, again, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I don't know that they have a lot we're just ready to step in. The other counter is, okay, then go find some more Kelly Oubre types, right? And have them overperform. But those are rare. Like, I mean, I was surprised by what Oubre did. None of us really thought he was that great a fit for the Heat. He was only coming if they got Dame anyway.
For every James Johnson, there's a Derek Williams.
Right. I mean, there's a Mo Harkless. You're going to miss a lot. There's a reason. There's a Christian Wood, by the way, who... That was somebody we wasted a bunch of podcast episodes about last year. And what did he do for the Lakers? Like there are a lot of those guys. You can say, okay, in our system, Spo will make it work. Go get a Marvin Bagley type. Go get this. If you give him real talent, he'll make... I understand the arguments for all of that, but I'm just saying, like, counting on minimum guys to tilt the playing field to give you enough depth. And plus, the Heat don't really like bringing in those guys as much because they would rather have a guy that they developed, who they know, who came up through their system. They know what his strengths are. They know what his weaknesses are. They know how to cover his weaknesses. Then bring in somebody who's been with six different organizations and try to figure it out. They've done it over the years. Damon Jones is one who came to mind. There are a few others, but for the most part, okay, they do better with their own guys. I just don't know. Again, we probably should have Major on to talk about who else could pop for them, because I just see Williams. That's it. I see Alondis Williams. He's the one guy who shows some that kind of athletic ability. He has an edge to the way he plays. Then maybe he fits into back end of a backcourt rotation next year. Maybe he ends up being better than Gabe Vincent, possibly. But I'm just saying, like, that's kind of where Kendrick Nunn was. Okay. But that's kind of where we're at. All right. So to close this episode, we thank our sponsors, C-ArmandStaffing.com, Water Cleanup of Florida. I just say, look, if you're going to get a star, he better be a star. I really only think you go all in for Mitchell or Durant. That's it. I mean, I know the Spurs are investigating Trey because they, and I've heard of that from a bunch of people now, that they're seriously looking at the Trey possibility because they think Wemby has a short timeline to be great because of his body type. And they've done a lot of research on this. And the Spurs are an organization you trust when they do their research. And they think Wemby can cover up Trey's defense. You'd essentially be asking Bam to do the same thing. He might be borderline to me, but get out of here with some of these other guys making $30+ million who are not stars. Like I don't think it's worth it for that. And I do think looking at the payroll that probably Tyler or Terry has to go. I think Tyler or Terry and probably and Duncan. And if it's going to be Duncan and one of them, then you got to find shooting somewhere.
Yeah. And that's where I don't think it'll be Duncan. I think it's more apt to be Tyler. So maybe Tyler and Terry. Yikes.
Ooh. who's starting at the point? Well, I guess for a long time, they didn't really have a point guard. They can bring Kyle back, can't they? All right, it's time to end this episode. All right. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Greg. We'll have more over the weekend. Brady and I are going to look, I think, at Hakez and Jovic specifically and their upsides, because I feel like that's been a conversation on Twitter and other places lately. Like, what could they really become? And so what are you holding on to? We'll get into that in an episode with Brady. All right. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.